This is tape one, side one. I am Sherman Oxendine, and I am in the Knox Museum for the purpose of interviewing Clarence Ossie Burch. This is March 7th, 1990, and I am very pleased that Mr. Burch agreed to come and be interviewed. He is one of our county's outstanding citizens, and a man who made his contribution mainly through his military experiences. He may disagree with me on that, but that's what I revere him the most. Now, let's get started, Ossie. Can I call you Ossie?
Yes, that'll be fine.
All right. Now, let's go back a little bit. Who was your father and mother?
My father was Charlie Burch, and my mother was Nanny McDonald Burch.
Now, a lot of McDonalds and Burches around here. Can you give your mother's maiden name? Who was she?
She is the daughter of Harve and Joseph McDonald.
McDonald. Yeah. Okay, and your father's mother was who?
My father's mother was Mary Burch, but Mary Raines Burch.
Mary Raines, R-A-I-N-S?
R-A-I-N-E-S,
yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, were you born here in this county?
I was born in Knox County.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father, my early childhood, he worked at the mines. He worked at, I guess you'd call him a tram, drive a tram team, you know, taking coal from the mine around to the tipple to be dumped.
Where was that?
That was up on Brush Creek.
Brush Creek.
That's where my grandfather and all of them lived up there.
Now, did you have any brothers and sisters?
I had one brother that survived. Had four other brothers that died in early life. They died during the flu epidemic in the 20s. Or late teens, and had one other brother, Glenn, and he died 8 years ago.
Now, wasn't Glenn a good athlete? Seemed like I remember him.
Yeah, he played athletics.
I remember
football,
as a good athlete, but seemed like I remember him too.
Yes, he was a football player, basketball player, and baseball player. And he played with some of the better basketball teams at Barberville High.
Now, he didn't go to college.
He enrolled and went as a freshman, but didn't go any further than that.
That's where I remember you, even playing at Union College, although I know that you were a star at Barberville High, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, Barberville High and BBI.
Did you play at BBI?
Yeah,
too?
I was at both places.
You remember the old plank fence around the field at Union
College?
It had a lot of trees on the outside of it.
Yes, I do.
And as a kid, a whole bunch of us boys from Heidrick used to come over there and climb up in them trees and watch the game.
Yeah.
And they'd have, I don't know whether the police or just security people, try to run us out of those trees. They'd run us out, but we'd come right back.
Yeah, they could.
And then it's halftime, we'd jump down in there and mix with the crowd.
Yeah.
And they didn't fool with us anymore. But that's where I remember you and Bill Buckcannon. And,
yeah.
And,
that's right.
Shorty Turner.
Union had some pretty good athletes.
They did. And you didn't have a surplus of players either, did you?
Oh, no. You rotated from one position to the other. You played both defense and offense.
You couldn't have had a team if you hadn't.
Oh, no.
You probably didn't have 22 players, did you?
Oh, no. We didn't have. A lot of times the college would get to high school to scrimmage, and we couldn't scrimmage. We didn't have enough to scrimmage.
Did you play under any coach other than Bacon?
Not at Union. No, I didn't.
Who was your coach at BBI and Barbara High?
Bill Messer was one. He's a native of Knox County. You remember Bill?
As Doc's brother?
Doc's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
At BBI?
He is at BBI. He is at Barber High School. And that's one reason I went to BBI. You know, he went to BBI to coach, and several of us followed over there. Yeah, that's right.
Now, can you give us a time on that? About what time were you playing at BBI and Barber High?
Well, I graduated from at BBI in 1931.
And you went from there to Union?
Union, yeah.
And graduated, what, about 35?
I graduated 36.
36.
36 at Union.
And then after that, what did you do?
I coached 1 year as an assistant coach at Benham, Kentucky. And then I went to Mississippi and
as a coach,
Tupelo, outside Tupelo. And I was there when we went into the Army.
Really?
Yeah.
You were in Mississippi already.
I was already in Mississippi.
You had advantage of us. You knew the climate.
Yeah, well, I was in northern Mississippi. In northern Mississippi, climate mostly, it's almost like it is here.
Not like it was at Camp Shelby.
No.
All right, let's see. You were, exactly how did you get into the 38th Division?
Well, see, we were the...
You didn't come back here as part of the...
Yes, I did. I came back. I was a member of the National Guard, local National Guard. And then when they were alerted for federalization, I was sent a notification that we'd be federalized. And then I reported back here and was federalized and left here with the unit.
Well, I'm not quite straight on this. You were living and coaching in Mississippi.
That's right.
Did you move back here?
No, now, I didn't. I had no residence other than just that's there. My family was still here. My mother and dad was still here.
Oh.
Was here. And
You came back here after...
Well, I just go there during the school term, and then I was back here the rest of the time.
Well, did they excuse you during the...
Yeah, I was excused.
Okay.
I was excused.
When did you join the National Guard here?
Well, the first time I belonged to the National Guard was when we organized medical detachment here. Captain Parker from down at Gray's, a doctor from down there, got a medical unit. I think it's maybe 50 or 60 men, I don't recall.
And you were in that?
I was in the medical detachment.
Well, when did you leave that?
Well, let's see. I guess I left that when I went to Benham. I'm not positive as to when I did. I was with them till then, I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive on the dates on that. But anyway, when I went to Benham, then I resigned from the medical unit, and then I joined Company C.
Well, the reason I was interested is because that's the outfit
I know,
was in.
And you did. That's first organized.
Yeah. Sure. And General King was the first sergeant, and Dr. Parker was the commanding officer.
Well, I was the first sergeant at one time in the medical base.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we were federalized in November, I believe, weren't we?
Yeah, well, we left here in January, the latter part of November and December.
I think it was the 17th day of January.
That's right, 17th of January when we left here.
Went to Camp Shelby.
Camp Shelby.
And you were you already in the process of trying to get your commission?
At that time, I was taking what they call a 10 series. That's a correspondence type course. Uh-huh. And I was in the process of taking the 10 series. And then when we got to Camp Shelby, those that were in the process, well, they had these Army advisors, if you remember, and they continued, and I finished my 10 series there. Most of it was practical there, and the rest of it was mostly written questions and answers, but this was just practical.
Wasn't that an awful place when we first got there?
It certainly was.
I remember one time it came a bad storm.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't done any kind of worked, you know, to drain the water off. And there was some tents with the water halfway up on them, and the men's foot lockers were floating around. They were trying to catch them and keep them washing off. I believe you fellas were up on higher ground, weren't you?
Yeah, we were.
That didn't happen to you.
No, we were on sort of a hill.
We were down in that swamp.
Yeah, I know where you are.
They put in $1 million drainage system there and took care of that.
They did.
Well, we left then. Okay, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you. You got your commission because I helped you celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
You recall.
Yeah, several of us.
Oscar McNeil. Yeah. And I don't remember who else, but you and me and Oscar, I know. I remember.
Yeah.
Went to Hattiesburg, and we had the fun a good part of the night. After that, we're just follow from there where you went and what you did. And
well, I was commissioned in June of that 41.
41.
And then we went to Louisiana on maneuvers.
I was on those maneuvers.
After the maneuvers, we came back to, I don't notice what time it was.
We spent about 3 months down there.
All right, when we came back.
Around the 1st September, wasn't it, when we went?
Yeah, something like that.
September, October.
A little earlier than that, I think.
Might have been the 1st of August.
Yeah, I think it was.
Might have been.
After I come back from the maneuvers, I went to Camp Bullis, Texas. They had for a junior officers, had about 200 or 300 mixture of every branch of service. The idea was General Krueger's was the originator of that school. And it was to have so many infantrymen, and then it'd have engineers, artillerymen, everybody else that supported the infantry. And then one day you'd be the squad leader, or the company commander. Next day you'd be the lead scout. You just rotated around. Everybody did to show that. And so that I went to school there, and while there, that's when Pearl Harbor. Then when I returned from there, which was in right around Christmas time in December, and then we went to New Orleans. It was detailed to go to New Orleans. The unit was moved down there, and we were guarding bridges. And
I know. Was this still attached to the 38th Division?
Yeah, we still
detached from it.
We were still a part of the 38th,
still part of 38th Division,
and it was just to keep down sabotage. You know, with it, right after the war, you know, there's a lot of coming up all along the coastline. It scattered us out there. So that we was in New Orleans till latter part of January. Gus Hauser and I were transferred from the 38th Division to the 37th Division, and the 37th Division was scheduled to go overseas to Ireland. We were scheduled to Ireland.
Ireland?
Ireland. And then we was in the process of moving, and Gus and I had a march unit, moving the trucks and the impedimenta and everything to port of embarkation. And we got to Fort Meade, Maryland, and had a instructions to go to Indiantown Gap, Pennsylvania. And so I said, well, that's that wasn't where it is. It is New York.
Two of you?
No, it's
the
whole outfit.
Okay.
In the process of going up there, what caused that? Our transportation was the Normandy, and it caught fire, been scuttled, and we had no transportation. So when I reached Fort Meade, you see, we was on the road. We knew. Read no newspapers and that, reading that news out late it on the road and get in late at night. And so we were making from one military installation to the other. That's the way we would make the stops. And So they sent us over to Uniontown Gap, Pennsylvania. Had nowhere, no place for us. So they sent us over there, and we were there 5 or 6 weeks, and then we were sent to the Pacific.
From there?
From the Uniontown Gap.
Where did you
first go to?
Yeah, where did you get on a ship?
We got on a ship in San Francisco.
They shipped you all the way across.
They shipped us all the way across to San Francisco.
And how big a unit was this?
This the entire division.
The whole division.
That's right.
Was it still the 38?
No, this is 37.
Now.
I left the 38 and went to the 37th. That's the Ohio division.
They were at Shelby with you.
Yeah, they were at Shelby the same time we were. Yeah.
And they sent you from San Francisco to where?
Went to the Fiji Islands. Fiji Island. We went there. The ANZAC, or this was a New Zealand outfit that we relieved. You know, they were expecting the Japs maybe to expand into some of those islands, and they'd send up some of those troops up there to protect us. And so we went in and relieved them and let them go back at R&R to New Zealand, and we took over their role there. But at that time, it was fairly evident that they was not going to reach out or invade that far. But yet we dug in defensive positions and continued with our jungle training and stuff like that.
All right. Now, from there,
we went to Guadalcanal.
Still part of the 37th.
All part of 37th. I was in the 148th Infantry now.
Now, 148th Infantry?
Yeah. Okay. I was in, when I was at the 38th Division, I was in Company C, 149th Division.
Yeah.
So when I was transferred, I was in Company G, 148th Division.
Had you gotten promoted by this time?
No, sir, I was still second lieutenant. Second lieutenant. With not much chance of promotion, you know, when you go to those new outfits.
Your men mostly veterans for this time, or were they still bringing in
all of our refugees? We weren't getting any new replacements or anything new. We were loaded up. And in fact, that was why I guess that we were transferred to the 37th Division. They give them a little bit of overage, 10% or 15% overage, you see, when a unit's going overseas. And so that's why several of us was transferred to the 37th to give them full. So I'm sure they did that with the enlisted personnel as well as the officer personnel.
I remember at some time along through there, they streamlined these divisions. If you remember, we had about 15,000 men in a division at the beginning. Yeah. And they cut that down, way down. I don't know.
All right, now they cut down the...
Was that about the time that you...
No, now, they did that before I left the 38th. You see, when we went in, when we were federalized, they called it, it was a square division.
Yeah.
And then they took out one of the regiments, and that made it triangleized. They called it triangleized division. So they took out one of the regiments. See, in the 38th... composed 149, the 100 from Kentucky, the 150th from West Virginia, 151st and 152nd from Indiana. That was a square division. All right, they took away the 150th Infantry, which was the West Virginia unit, and sent down to the Panama, and left triangleized that division. Well, the 37th Division, they had the 147th, 145th, 147th, 146th, 147th, 148th, made up the original square division. Then the 146th was sent on some, was taken out to triangleize the division. And then in the process, when we went overseas, they needed another regiment, and 147th went on to Guadalcanal and didn't stop in the Fijis with us. And they went on to Guadalcanal, or went on to help make the invasion, I'd say, of Guadalcanal. And then we went to Guadalcanal in the latter phases of the...
Had it been secured when you...
Fairly, yeah. It was just a mopping up action when I got there.
Well, how was that like?
Well, it's very, it's a different climate. Not much different from the Fijis, but you had not a lot of your beaches and escarpments and all that, palm trees and all that stuff like that. But it was just one of those coral islands. That's about all I can say. It wasn't habitated. It had some people on it, but Lord, there's in villages which you didn't see, seldom ever saw anything.
How about insects? And
oh, my goodness. The mosquitoes was horrible.
Were they disease-carrying?
Yeah, they was a malaria. That's what we all, And we took this Adderall, as a preventive. And, but everybody did. Served in the Pacific just about had the malaria.
Do you still have
it? I don't anymore. It's two types of it. I don't have any more, but it's been several years since I've had an attack.
But you did have
it? Yeah, I did have it. Yeah, we cured on it.
That must have been terrible.
Yeah, it certainly was. We take this Adderall and it turned you yellow.
Yeah.
It put some kind of stain in your...
They had us taking it when we were on maneuvers in Louisiana. I never was stationed where that was a problem, so I didn't have to take it regularly.
Yeah. We took it every day. We'd take it every day.
Okay, you're on Guadalcanal.
Yeah.
Can you give me a date, a year?
Well, see now, we went to the Fijis in 42. And it'd be in the latter part of 43 or early, I mean latter part of 42, or early 43. I couldn't give you exact dates.
Well, that's general period.
That's when it would have been, latter part of 42, early 43.
All right. Now what? There.
After Guadalcanal was secured, and we'd have cleaned the island. That's right. Gather up all of the waste and everything, take it to the beach. They're going to send it back home, pick up all the scrap and all of that stuff. We were, my regiment, 148, was sent to the Russell Island. Well, we went up there. Evidently, our intelligence wasn't too good. We thought we was invading the island, but there was no Japanese on the island.
Russell Island.
Yeah. And we went to the Russell Island, so we was just there in a waiting period. And at that place, that's where we had some PT boat places. And that's where the Cyril brothers, I guess you've read some magazine articles maybe about them on their raid, Cyril brothers, the E-R-E-A-L.
Yeah,
right. And that's where John F. Kennedy, he was in them PT boats there. That he served there on the Russell Island. And in fact, that's where the ship run over him, and he was, he got on.
When you went in, did you go in as an invading force with these LSTs or Ds or whatever?
We went up in LCI. That's a boat infantry to carry an infantry
company. You thought you were actually invading?
Oh, we were just thought sure we was going to we was going in under fire, but there was no gas there. We was glad of that.
I'm sure you were.
Yeah,
I'm sure you were.
Yeah, there is none there.
And how long were you there?
We was at the Russells. I'd say 2 or 3 months, something like that. I used to go out.
This was your regiment now, not the division.
No. Now the other regiment, at the time we went to the Russells, they went the 145th. Square up when the 147th went back to for a rest in the somewhere, I don't know where they went to, for a rest after the Guadalcanal fight. Then they give this regiment, this division, 37th Division, the 129th Regiment, I believe it was. They brought it in there from somewhere, I don't remember where. And those two regiments went to New Georgia. We was on the Russells. And then they moved us from the Russells up to, what was the name of the little island? And we were going to go over on Columbangara. We was going to take Columbangara. And they were going to take the Russell Islands. But they bogged down. And they had to use us in the 25th Division and those two regiments of the 37th Division was to take New Georgia, and we was going to take Columbangara. But they bogged down, and then we had to go in and help them to secure the New Georgia. And the Munda Airfield was the main objective there.
Well, you did see some Japs here, huh?
Huh?
You did see some Japs on
in New Georgia?
In Oh, yeah,
in that phase. In fact, I saw a lot of them in that one. I guess that's when in that area, it was Sherman, is why I volunteered to go with the Merle Marauders, because in that we had a still had an old colonel. And when we joined the 37th, they had us to wait at this recreation, or this big place where the regiment had some kind of a day room, you know. And we sat there an hour or so waiting on him, and that's when we joined him, you see. Finally, he come out, and he told us that we didn't want y'all. We didn't send for you. You all just have to get along with best you can, and that's about the way they treat us from then on. I guess that's one of the reasons I left that bit.
That was Ohide.
Ohide, yeah, he's Ohide. He was relieved right after, during that fight in New Georgia, because I felt like he is abusing his son, because I remember in the fight that he sent word up, and I think I knew why he did that, because we had contacted some Japs, and he had a machine gun, and we was trying to clear that machine gun out, and he was covering this approach. We had a little bridge over that, and the way the jeeps and all went up there, and the S2 of the regiment came up in a jeep. He it was the S3, S2, and the driver. And I stopped him, and I said, don't go on out here. We got a machine gun, Japanese machine gun, we're trying to clear out. He says, I've got to go on up to the front there, because I said, well, you can get through there. That's all there is to it. And so his name was Bathers, as I recall. And he started out, and the Jap opened up on the machine gun and set the jeep afire, and he got out of there and killed the driver. He and the S2 got out, I don't know how, and they took off to the rear or something. And we got the fire put out and covered the bore there and knocked the Japanese machine gun out. And then later, instead of telling a company or somebody to send somebody to do that, but he insisted, this colonel did. Oh, the colonel came up and wanted to know, he said he wanted to get something about that those fellows ought to be recommended for a medal. I says, recommended for a medal. The devil, I says, hell, they ought to be court-martialed. I says, hey, if you tried to keep them from going out there, I says, lost the chief and the man's life. He didn't agree with it. And then the next assignment, I got the sergeant come up and said that he wanted me to capture a small outpost out there. Well, I don't know why he singled me out unless he won't get rid of me. So I asked this sergeant, a little irony to this, too, because I asked this sergeant, I said, and we just received our first mail. We hadn't gotten any when we were on the intermediate island between, maybe I'll think of the name of it later. I don't think of it right now what it was. When we were on that island, you see, we were waiting to go to Toland Mangara, but while we were there one morning, they called me down to the beach, and there was some LSDs and stuff, and said that you were going to make a beachhead over there, that the 25th Division command post got overrun the night before. And so we went over on that. And that's an, I think that really decided I needed to go with some other outfit after getting overly used.